Time's a precious gift, moments that we share. But memories can haunt us, the past we can't repair. Oh, take each lesson learned and remember. Your gentle touch when we are apart, the warm sun in December. When the past comes back to haunt us, when it won't let us be. Let's bury it together underneath the rocks, underneath the sea. Underneath the rocks, underneath the sea.
Philip!
Hi! Yeah, can you see me?
Yes, I can see you. You're looking good.
Looking very orange.
And I'm loving the ambience you've got going on there. Hello. Yes, you look like you are in the pits of Beelzebub's. How are the devil are you?
Good, thank you. My studio, wonky door.
Welcome to wonky door. It looks good. I like the lighting. Is that your LEDs?
Yes. I can't really.
Oh, nice.
Around the edge.
Yeah. I might put my LEDs on them, Phil.
Oh, you've got LEDs, have you?
I've got some LEDs, but of course, I've programmed mine to do fancy things. So I don't know whether you'll be able to see them, but they run along the back. Yeah, I'll just turn off that.
Right. Oh, hello.
Can you see that?
That's
a little. Oh, and then we've got this one, which is a sort of slowly evolving.
Oh, that's good.
And then it changes into it's got about half a dozen different patterns. This is a sort of
I've got my,
yes, very nice. Very nice. They're amazing. I mean, these LEDs, these ones are slightly different from the ones you have. great. I just got Gracie a set of those, and you can hook them up to your phone and take a picture of anything, and it will match the colour in the photo.
Wow.
And set the LEDs to that colour. Isn't that amazing?
That's amazing, yeah.
So good. Mm-hmm. And does your one do sound as well? You know, if you...
No, they
respond to sound, you know.
No.
And bit pulse away. But the ones I've got here are sort of like the next model up, of course. I've got the next model up. But these you can program with a little Arduino board. And you can individually address every single pixel and set the color of each pixel individually, which is how you can get these beautiful fades. You can get them to do anything. You know, if you put them in a grid, you can get them to spell out words. You can, this is what they use at Burning Man and, all those beautiful French visual artists. They're using these things. They're just... Blow your mind what you can do with them.
Yeah. Oh, well, I might know. there we are. Blue.
Yeah, I've spent about 3 weeks doing this. You put yours up in half an hour and go on with making music. That's the difference, you know.
I'm going to turn on a better light again. They do some things. Hang on, what's that one? Fade. There's some. What's that one do?
Oh yeah, that. Oh yeah. No, I like that.
So they go through. They go through. So they're going green. Now blue.
Yeah.
And then
I can see that purple. Nice bit of purple going on there. That's a good colour. That's a good colour for you.
That going for a while.
Yeah.
I've got my normal light here as well.
Oh yeah, for the detail stuff. Do you find it affects your creative output, the lighting?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, the trouble with my speakers, I've got my window, so the windows are here, you know.
Yeah.
So that's all window. So there's lots of reflection of the screen, which I don't like.
No.
So, no, it's fine, but in the day, I can't actually see the screen at all.
That's a problem.
The window's there, just...
Even with the blinds down?
Well, no, I don't turn the light the blind, because then it's... And also, my great insulated box that I've got is like a furnace in the morning.
Right.
This is just a rip-off. Welcome to the £17,000 of a rip-off. It's
gorgeous, Phil. It's gorgeous.
Because the door's falling off, so I can't open the door. That's one screw bolted in. Because the whole box is doing that.
Let's not even open that particular can of worms. It's gorgeous. We love it. Anyway. You're right, that reflective glass bit there is probably not good for your acoustics either, is it?
No, but again, it should be. But... So when I first, that glass that I've got is this, it filters the sunlight to stop it heating up.
Yeah.
No. and it's also brilliant. So when I first bought it, Becky was on the other side of it and I went, "Can you hear me?" And she went, "Yes."
Is it supposed to be acoustically isolated?
Yeah. And I literally went, "Can you hear me?" That loud. Yes. Brilliant. Fantastic. Well, that was worth £8,000 then. Fantastic. You know, brilliantly. You know, you got to have that glass because that stops any sound.
Sure, it's a little bit more expensive, so.
Yeah, but you know. But
think of the peace of mind. Yeah.
Cut the sound. Absolutely nothing get through that. Unless you stand by and go, "Hello." That'll get through.
It's tough, isn't it? It's tough because it's like so many things in life. You've got no experience of acoustic
glass.
Isolating glass.
No.
So you've got to trust. You've got to trust, haven't you, in the process. And so you are completely open to being shafted.
Exactly. And I was. Yeah.
And I've also just happens. I mean, not with you, but it just happens time and again, doesn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
Talking of which, Voice of God.
Yes.
Audio plug-in.
And let me just get the console up so I can, we can boot this little bit. Oh, mind you, this isn't going to work because I haven't got my UAD thing. Oh.
Well, don't worry, Phil, because I've done a little, while you're getting yours up,
yeah.
I will show. I did have a little dig around earlier on, and I found it wasn't the voice of dog; it was the bark of dog.
Oh yeah, that's bad. Right.
So I've downloaded and installed that, and if I share that with you, we can see whether whether we can hear what's going on. But before we do that, maybe have you got a jingle for us?
I haven't, I'm afraid. I'm sorry, I've failed,
Davis.
I know. Sorry.
That's all right. It's quite all right. There's no rules here, but we will have to listen.
Yeah, I'll try.
It's Phil and Danny show. Thanks for joining us. So let's go.
You're better than me.
I'll have to stick with that one for the time being. I was going to write on a piece of paper whether I thought you would have it or not, and then show that piece of paper. But I was going to put that. I was going to have to write that I did. It would be too depressing for me to.
Write. Yeah, sorry.
I didn't think you would have it. But there you go. So okay. Can you see my screen?
I can, very nice.
This is the bark of dog. Is that similar to the voice of God? It's got seems to have a frequency knob here, a boost knob here, and then an output knob. So we'll leave the out. Forget that. You've just got the frequency and the boost.
Yeah, that's it.
Is that what it? So what I've got here is...
I'll have to boot it up, Ray, to remind myself. But it's I can see your... Well, on view options. What does that do? Oh, no, that didn't work. Fit window. No. Oh, side by side. What does that do? No.
What are you trying to do?
I'm just trying to see. No, don't worry. There you are. Right, forget it. Carry on.
So all I've got here, which I wanted to run through, is I've got a pink noise generator. So if I turn that on.
Yeah,
that's going through the bark of dog and then onto the master bus. And this is where you can see what it's doing. So there's the pink noise. Very flat all the way from 0 to 20k. Now what we can do is we can fiddle with these knobs here and see if they actually do anything. So if I turn the boost up, right up,
it's a bit of
a button, you can see a little bit. And then if I adjust this button here, at 80 hertz, what it's basically doing, it's like an EQ, a high pass filter. So it's whatever you set the high pass filter up here, it's cutting, and you can hear the.
Of course,
But what it's resonant, so that it also boosts a little bit around the cutoff frequency. So the idea is you find where your kick drum is, you know, where it's got a little bit of energy.
Yeah.
And then you set this, and what that does, at about the same level, it then boosts that little area, but also cleans up everything below. So you save some energy, you know, save some space in your mix for everything else. But then it gives you a little bit of a
Output just rises that peak.
That's the peak. And then if I drop the boost down, you'll see that peak dropping down, dropping down, dropping down until we get to zero, when it's really just acting as a low pass, as a high pass filter. So that's all. That's all. That's all the voice of God was, and that's why Boz made the bark of dog. I mean, that's freeware. You know, they were laughing about it, like you were laughing about it, and somebody challenged him, I think, back in the day, to produce something. You know, he said it wasn't worth the money. You could do something for nothing that would do as good a job. You know, you could do the same thing with a just with a standard EQ if you wanted to.
Exactly.
But it does do something. So in this section of is it worth it? No, but is it snake oil? Not exactly. It does do something, I think. If you tune it right. Whether it's what you wanted, probably not.
So I'm going to get back to my screen again a sec. What do I do? Okay, so let me just do that. I'm going to see what would be under dynamics, probably. I can't even remember who made it. Voice of God.
No.
It's not dynamic. What else would it be under? I thought it'd be under dynamics. No. Oh.
It's Little Labs, apparently.
Harmonics, maybe? Little Labs, no. Mastering. L.
Wow, 149.
Yeah, special just processing. Here we go. Right, I got it there. So,
you want to show your screen? Yeah, there's a green button at the bottom of that Zoom.
Share screen. See it? Can you see it?
Yes. Yeah, got it. Yeah.
That's basically it. So it's just basically amplitude, which is the wave.
Yeah.
And the frequency.
Yeah.
And all those buttons are doing nothing. And that's it.
That's it. That's it. $149. To you, sir. Did you get it free?
No.
No.
I think it was on sale. I think it was £50 or something.
Yeah.
That's
got it. But they have a hardware version. This is modelled on from a hardware version. Isn't it?
Yeah.
I think. Yeah, so. 500. Hmm. Yeah, is it a do we give it a buy or a sell?
Don't touch it in the barge pile, I would. It's crap.
Yeah. Okay.
Can I turn everything on, or would that cause chaos?
Yeah, give it a go.
Okay. There's the iRig.
Oh, yes.
Very nice.
Is that a... who makes the iRig?
iRig. I rig, the company I rig, Keys 2, it's called.
Oh, yeah.
Right, I'm not sure anything's happened, actually. It's funny, this, if you don't do it all in the right order, it doesn't like it, but...
Yeah, not IK Multimedia.
Let's see. Oh, no, no, it's all right. It's connected.
Cool.
There we are. So the studio is now live. There we go. So we put that now. Ah. So... That should all be there. Right. So just in case you wanted to look at anything.
Yes. Well, feel free to show us around a song of yours.
Okay, well, I'm maybe something up.
Yeah. Something that I came across during the week, Phil, that I wanted to ask you about. Do you remember back in the day you released a educational album called Time to Multiply?
Yes, very much, yeah.
I have very fond memories of that because it came out about the same time as my kids were learning to multiply.
So
it was very timely.
Yeah.
I think we played that quite a lot.
Okay.
I remember the effort you put into it. So we went to Spotify to relive the old times.
Right.
But it's not there.
No. Well, oh. Okay. I'm not quite sure why, but I know that our Moopic, account where it was released through was stopped ages ago.
Ah.
But I didn't know. So that's interesting. That obviously means it's taken off Spotify as well. I thought once it was on Spotify, it would stay.
Well, it depends who you put it on with. You know, because I signed up for this one company that was doing it really cheaply, but you had to pay them every year.
Yeah, I have to pay mine every year, but if I don't...
Yeah, you see, where CD Baby, who I put my album on with, you paid them once, and they put it up there, and that was it.
And it was, that was it forever.
And that's it forever. And I, it's like, no, I'm not. But it swings and roundabouts, isn't it? You've got so many albums, it's probably worth your while.
Yeah. So
anyway.
So here's the problem now, you see, so I've just booted up all those faces, the final mix, and I've had loads of error messages that all kinds of plugins are disabled, and this is the problem I have. It's a bit random, you know, if I have a song, I don't know which ones are disabled, let's think, because I've got lots of UAD plugins on it, but some are disabled. Because it's just like, no, I can't run them at the moment. Sorry.
Then what do you have to do?
I have to shut everything down and just see. I don't know which. So let's think. The UA. I've probably got. Oh yeah. So the compressor's disabled. The Fairchild 660, that's disabled on the snare drum. I mean this particular track has got loads of plugins on it, you see.
Yeah.
So booting it up. Should I share the screen? Hang on. Let me go here, share screen. So there it is. So see that one there, it's disabled. So that's what happens.
Is it all your UAD plugins that are disabled?
No, so that one, that's all right. That's all right. So all the, this, Oh, here we are. It's the Shadow Hills. That'll be disabled. Oh, no, that's what. So that's the my mastering compressor, which is gorgeous.
Holy moly. Look at all those knobs, Phil.
Oh, yeah. That's incredible.
Jeez, that's value for money. You've got knobs, dials, and switches on there.
Hang on. So that really does do what it says. I don't know quite what will happen if I press play. I'll probably have to turn the speakers on.
I can't hear that.
No, nor can I. Nothing's happening at all. Nothing's coming out there, so I don't know what's happening.
No. I think you need to go away and do a bit of practicing before...
Before trying to share Logic. I don't know, it's not, it's connected. Yes. It is. The console is connected, according to that.
Yeah.
But it's not for some reason. Anyway, well, there we are.
So incredibly complicated.
It's annoying. It would be nice to. It's not, nothing's even coming out the output. I think what it is, if I go to preferences, hang on, audio, it's probably connected to my. No, output universal audio. So it's all there, but it's not working. No, there's a dodo.
Yeah, so normally you just reboot it and it would...
Yeah, it's about when I turn it on or off. I mean, it is connected, but yeah, the DSP is at 99%, you see?
Yeah.
So if I shut Logic down and reboot, that'll probably do it.
Yeah. Well, while you're doing that, I will play you some of your Time to Multiply competition.
Okay. Oh, did I do a competition, did I?
No, I mean, when you search for Time to Multiply, you don't find Phil Davis's Time to Multiply. You find... other people's time to multiply. Well. People who've been on the same gravy train. So as a professional time to multiply author, it'd be interesting to hear what you think.
Okay.
This is Patty F. Weber, or Weber, not sure, right. 1B. So probably Weber, but who knows? Probably, I'm guessing right. American. Okay. Right. Have a listen to this. Can you hear that?
Yeah.
Let's go, it's time to memorize. Right now's the time to multiply. Seven. Are you ready to say the sevens with me?
Scott Harmony.
Are you ready, set, go?
Go.
Seven times one is seven. Seven times two is 14. Seven times three is 21. Seven times four is 28.
Just going the wrong way around, anyway.
Seven times five is 35.
Yeah, that was interesting. I know it's that.
So Americans, so they could, we'd say three times seven, four times.
Yeah.
Not seven times.
Is there an educational reason why you should do it the other way around? Or is it just British?
Well, because you're looking at groups of, multiply just seems to mean groups of. Yeah. So if you go, it's three groups of seven, five groups of seven, it's logical.
Yeah.
Seven groups of four, seven groups of five, then you're dealing with different groups.
Yeah. I feel
it shows.
Yeah. Oh, good point. Well presented. And the other thing that I noticed about Patty, if we listen to twos, for example.
Same rhythm.
Same guitar.
Same tune.
Let's go. It's
same
time
intro.
Yeah.
I mean, the same
thing.
Banged it out, didn't she?
Yeah, banged it out. Trying to make it. Probably made about 50,000.
Yeah, she's probably in the Hamptons living it up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you want to hear the Happy Chipmunks?
Go on then. Yes, for God's sake. It's so depressing.
They're probably got huge drug habits by now, those chipmunks, haven't they? The money they've made off of Spotify.
Yeah. It's unfair.
Well, I mean, you got to be in it to win it. That's all I'm saying. But listen to this. I think this may this may be the saving grace. This is Jay Smith. Now, it's not the Jay Smith that it's linked to in Spotify. I'll show you a picture of Jay Smith here. This is the Jay Smith that this album is linked to. 14,000, this is sort of, you know what she's going to sound like.
Yeah. Yeah! Yeah! All that shit is gone. Yeah! Yo!
Can't see my vision in my train.
Yeah. But
why do I bother?
But what is quite a surprise is when she raps, she takes on quite a different persona, as you'll hear.
It's Jay Smith representing Ask East.
Oh my God.
You know how we do.
No, I think you got to give this a little bit of...
Yeah. Whoa. Aim for the sky with your mind. You just gotta try to multiply. 7 times 1 equals 7. 7 times 2 equals 14. It gets better. 7 times 3 equals 21. You gotta have fun with it. Shine like the sun. 7 times 4 equals 28. Set it straight. Practice is all it takes. Sometimes you feel great, sometimes you cry. But
that's just everything. There's no redeeming feature of that whatsoever. That's just so bad.
I'm really impressed.
Anything that runs with 8, like, let's get it straight. And
he's put his heart and soul into this. I mean, if you go to the 9s, it's a different beat.
Jay Smith. This is Jay Smith.
This is Jay Smith.
We be feeling playful. This is a 9-times table.
All
always
right.
Willing and able.
Yo.
This is a 9-times table.
Pause.
It's a time again to get out of bed. Time to make moves, please.
This is a 9-times table. Always willing and able. Sorry. How can a 9-times table be willing and able?
You're taking this too literally. I mean, it's
rubbish.
He's engaging with the youth. And
no, it's an insult, exactly. And they're not learning anything about the craft of songwriting at all. Just like say anything if it rhymes.
Yeah.
And go in the background and put a baseball cap on slightly wonk to the left, and you're all right.
So you're not prepared to support any of those.
No.
Times to multiply.
Not
rivals.
Because he said, "Here's the 9-times table. It's always willing and able." That lyric is just utterly ridiculous. Well, what else are you gonna have?
I'm shocked.
7-times table.
I think there may be a bit of professional jealousy going on here.
it's not jealousy. It's pathetic. It's ridiculous. Sorry. It's pointless. Here's the night that we're always willing and able. It's just, it's getting on the rhyming dictionary and thinking, what rhymes with table? Able.
Isn't that how music is created?
No, not good point. No. Even rubbish songs, even songs that are pop, real pop, have soul and meaning. Even pop songs.
But they rhyme.
Yeah, they rhyme, but they're not just plucking any old crap out of a rhyming dictionary.
So not only has it got a rhyme, it's something more than that.
Yeah, it has to have meaning. That's what language is. You don't just pluck any old word out. It's like saying, I don't know, it's like, you know, if I said chair, what, you just think that any old word that rhymes with chair, like mare. I want to sit in my chair and I see the horse, it's a mare. I mean, what's the bloody point?
I see what you're saying. So
no, yeah, it's meaning. Language is meaning.
Well, give me an example. Give me an example of a good rhyme.
Oh, I got blimey, I don't know. I can't think off the top of my head. I can't, because I'm not into rhyme, you see. I find rhyme can be contrived. It often is contrived. That's the trouble. But good rhyme is amazing. But I'm trying to think.
I've put you on the spot a bit there. Yeah, let's leave that on the back burner and come back to that if we... So what are we going to call that? Can we call that one non-rhyme crime?
Yeah, non-rhyme crime, yeah. But it's not non-rhyme crime, it's rhyme crime. Because it does...
But I want a non-rhyme crime. You know, I want something that passes the Philip Davis test of a rhyme that is not a crime.
Well, hang on. Not a crime.
Not a crime.
Yeah. I'm just gonna get one of.
You see, a rhyme that is fine.
Right, here we go. Here's the sort of, you know, you've got a lot of nerve to say you are my friend. When I was down, you just stood there grinning. You've got a lot of nerve to say you've got a helping hand to lend. You just want to be on the side that's winning. You know, it's beautiful. You
that
say
is
I
good.
Let you down, you know it's not like that. If you're so hurt, why don't you show it? You say you lost your faith, but that's not where it's at. You have no faith to lose, and you know it. And it's not only the rhyme, it's the cadence. You know, it's one of the greatest songs ever written, positively 4th Street, Bob Dylan. So you want, you know, yeah. Leonard Cohen, I mean, Tom Waits, W.B. Yeats, Joanna Newsom. I mean, there's genius out there, but Jay, whatever his name was, is not one of them.
He's not dining at that table.
And never will.
Oh.
Well, no, because it's an insult, you know. You've got to respect the art. I really believe that. I'm very passionate about this, that you respect the art you're entering into and you don't release stuff. This is the whole problem with, if you want to get me...
Right.
People think they can be something and they're not, because they just think, oh, you can just stand there with a hat on and just say any old shit. And people... And trouble is, you see, this is the worst thing. The worst beyond this is that everyone thinks it's good, you know, because it's... We live in such a mire of mediocrity. We celebrate mediocrity now. We celebrate the mediocre.
Don't you think, you know, he's getting out there.
That's fine. He's putting his
stuff out there.
Yeah, yeah.
There's a saying, fake it till you make it. You know, you get out there and you do
fine.
It badly.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you will progress and you will start getting better, you know, maybe.
Yeah, that's fine. But where it used to be that people used to, absolutely, my early songs, you know, if you write, it's always dodgy and what, you know, everyone, even Dylan's written very dodgy stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, you've got to learn your craft, like you said.
You learn your craft. But he, you know, he's got the sort of, it's because of the media, you can now present yourself as if you are good at your craft. And that's what everyone sees. They just see the surface. The surface, you know, you present. So he's like the rapper. He's got his hat on. He's got the sort of beat. whatever it is, and then everyone goes, oh, this is good. It's not. I mean, it's just, you've got to, it's just a surface.
It's, well, I guess the interesting thing there is that this could be his first ever recording, and we can hear it. Yeah. Anybody in the world can hear it. Whereas Bob Dylan's or whoever's first recording back in the day, you could, there was a natural filter that the quality rose because you had to earn your way, you know, to a bigger audience. Whereas now you get given a huge audience straight away, potentially.
Yeah, and that's the trouble.
Mind you, back in the day, to listen to some music, you would have to go to a bar.
Yeah.
And you would probably sit through as much dross as you would today on Spotify.
Yeah, there are still people playing G, A minor and C incessantly.
Nothing wrong with them chords.
No, I know, there's nothing, but that's the trouble is, I mean, sorry, if I can just demonstrate, I can't really, but if I get the old Gretsch, you know, and that kind of, it's very easy to go... This is out of tune as well, but you know, and you just learn those, and you think, okay, so I've got my Gretsch, and I can sit, and play, you know, sort of, I can learn, you know, that's what semblance, and then sort of go, you know, and we all did it. I don't know. It's the classic A minor in any folk club.
Yeah.
You know, any folk. You know. And then they just sort of say anything. I'm just about, the window was rolling and the rain was falling down and the. And he just, they go on and on. And then they never know when to stop. They just go on. So it's lovely. It's great. You know, you think, oh, this is good. But then they just go on for like 20 minutes.
Right. Which is where you come.
That's the craft. It's like saying, look, if you, you know, sing that for 2 minutes.
Yeah.
It's hugging of the, it's the stage is becoming more important than the craft. Because everyone's obsessed with being a celebrity instead of the craft of enjoying the music. Because I love playing the guitar, it's now I want to be famous. So they sit for hours singing utter dross for, you know, and I can't, you know, that's the thing. I mean, look, this is probably quite controversial, but I'm just saying, you know, the folk club is a wonderful thing. Open mic, oh, it's wonderful. All these people trying, they're sitting there trying their craft, and they sit, and that's beautiful, and I want that to continue. Long may it continue, even if it's crap. Everyone should have a stage, but know when to finish. If you're starting out 3 minutes,
yeah,
the amount of folk clubs I've been in where they just go on and on, and they don't know when to stop, and it's not because they're bad. Or it's just they don't understand the concept of song. Because a song doesn't go on for... It doesn't. It's two and a half to three and a half minutes.
No. You know, that, no. But that, I mean, that's not a new thing. I would say this has been... From time immemorial, you've had people overstaying their welcome, you know, getting on the stage and overstaying their welcome.
In the old days, they would have had a bottle thrown at you.
Well, that still happens, I'm sure, but we're very polite and we just sit there grumbling quietly to ourselves going, oh,
and that's
my God.
Fine. You're so chubby, you should never throw, obviously, clearly.
No, clearly. Clearly, we do not.
We'd never want that to happen.
No. Philip, that raises a really important question, which I've always wondered, right, is it more important to be able to rhyme and be able to come up with melodies and to be able to sing and play your instrument, or is it simply the ability to recognize good stuff from bad stuff and not put out the bad stuff? Because, you know, if you just keep banging stuff out and are really good at selecting the good little bits that you come up with and put that lot out. You know,
the individual recognizing good and bad.
Yeah. You know, being a filter.
That's very hard. For the individual, that's very hard to recognize, because obviously every individual thinks what they're doing is the greatest thing that they've been written in the history of music. And quite some people, so, that's great.
But so some people are right with that, aren't they? Some people...
No, it's about having humility. Humility and an understanding of the craft. If you're going to become a songwriter, have reference. Sorry, right, here we go. It's reference points. And if you're going to write songs, you need reference points that is beyond 5 years ago, that is beyond Adele. It's beyond, you know, you have to have a reference. Music started, you know, and when I'm not saying, you know, but listen to stuff that was written in the 20s and the 30s and the 40s. Always keep referencing that. It's good.
Or it's don't.
Where it came from. And then you might think, then you'll come up with something so innovative. No, I don't agree you will, because it's a craft. It's like saying sculpture, even the really maverick sculptors and the really maverick artists understand they might change it all, but they have a very good understanding of where it came from. Tracy Emin, they change it completely and it's brilliant, and you might like it or not like it. But Christ, she knows her shit.
She knows her history.
So
it was the classic story of Picasso spending the first 10 years of his life just learning to draw crow's feet until he could, he was good enough for his father to allow him to move on to the rest of the crow.
And it's also it's knowing like where the masters came and just knowing it. You don't even have to like it.
I appreciate that that's great, but I also think that you don't have to do that.
I don't think that's
essential.
There's no rules. But if you're going to stand up, I don't know if you're going to. No, you don't have to. Of course, you don't have to do anything. You can do whatever you want.
Except what you put out, you know, has got to be quality, hasn't it? Because you're absolutely right.
Obviously, it's subjective.
Is it though?
Let's say, so Lady Gaga, who I'm not
a fan of.
I'm not going to pretend I know, but clearly she's a brilliant musician and all that. And she is. And so, but it's just not my cup of tea. So you can't say Lady Gaga's not, you know, good, because she clearly is very talented.
Right.
Creative and clever person. It's just not my concern. So you can't, there can't be, it's very subjective. And I think, the stuff where the person's good, as in knows their craft, that will never die. You know, the ones who, they clearly know their stuff.
And they will appeal to somebody, they're just not appealing to you, what you're saying.
That's completely fine.
Yeah,
completely. It's just not my cup of tea. But I've never, I've listened to her and I've seen her speak and play and
you're right. I mean, I spent a lot of time.
It's just not what she does with her craft. It's really clever. It's just not my cup of tea. But I'd never ever say, "Oh, she's not good."
No,
she is very good.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, but it doesn't. It doesn't. And also, it's you can, you know, it's time specific as well, isn't it? Because certain bands, songs, or albums, you can love at a certain time, and then at another time, you know, they're not there for you, are they?
Yeah, another one. So people I think Taylor Swift is absolutely brilliant, which is quite weird because. But I've listened to a lot of her stuff, and she's really good. They're good songs. She's a good songwriter.
But does she hit the spot for you where Gaga doesn't?
Some of them tell you the production, I'm thinking, I'd really love to hear her pared down.
Yeah.
They're good songs. And same with Lady Gaga, all of these people. Yeah, I think, because Lady Gaga's songs are good, you know, and if you heard them paired, just her on a piano, or, you know, yeah. But there's something about Taylor Swift, probably because it's more, there's a more, that sort of, it's a, they're more classic songs, Taylor Swift, I think. They are quite classic songs.
I mean, she's someone who knows her craft, and she's also now got an incredible team around her that works with her to craft those songs in the American way of, you know, comedy, of having a team to write the comedy shows.
And she also started Taylor Swift in the country music, and,
yeah,
which I respect that, you see. She's a country music singer and was generally a great country music singer with a guitar. And,
I mean, if you're talking about craft for songwriting, Nashville is...
Yeah, that's it.
It's got to be the homeland,
isn't
it? She came
from, she was 14 and she was banging them out.
Yeah. I'd love to go there. I'd love to go there and see, see the players and see that it must be quite an incredible experience.
Yeah. Me too. Fantastic. The whole style.
But that's very different to some of the other music. So it's, I mean, what you're saying. There's other music that doesn't have that craft, doesn't have that.
And that's completely different genre. Yeah. Which is
still hits the spot, you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's the beauty of it.
It's just not, I don't, it's not, this doesn't interest me that. Pressing buttons and things.
Interesting. I spent a lot of time thinking there was an absolute quality level, you know, and that you could have like a quality controller. But you're right. It's not. It's everybody has their own.
Yeah. Which is what, their own muse.
Yeah, their own taste.
Yeah.
Don't they?
And it speaks to the music. So you can never say, you know, and I would never, whatever it is, I'd never, I just sometimes think stuff's overrated. I do think some stuff's like, clearly, you know, clearly the person is good, but I'm not sure it is that good. I think they sort of go, you know, like, oh, you know, and, you know, mentioning no names, but there's some people you just. It's not that good. I mean, it's good.
Yeah, and especially as a fellow artist, there's going to be an element of jealousy there as well. When you're somebody is that success, especially when success is bestowed on somebody and you're going, well, you know, it's just a trick. You know, they're not all that.
And
they don't deserve that.
I think some of the big, there's so much luck.
So much luck.
And I think it's humility. It's down to humility, which, you know, the greats do have. They do have that. They have that kind of, I was lucky.
Yeah.
They don't pretend they are. You know, even the great like Dylan, who's this sort of icon, who changed the history of music, and they did. But he would never say that himself. He would never say, oh, yeah, I changed that. He wouldn't, but he did. It completely changed the entire way people approach because of the way he blended poetry and music and stuff. He influenced. And there's that humility. And that's what I think sometimes lacking now is that this sense of like, okay, yeah, you might be this massive superstar, but you're not all that. You're still just a human being.
Did you hear? Dylan came at a time when pop music was like Planet Earth during the era when it was still being hot lathered and being formed.
Very,
you know,
simple,
so him and the Beatles, they had a lot of room to play in. They can make up a lot of rules.
They could have gone anywhere.
Whereas now there are so many rules and regulations about pop music, it's like wearing a straitjacket to try and participate. But I think recently, the most recent one I heard was Drake single. His most recent single is basically two songs, him and another rapper, right? He does a rap, and then halfway through, there's sort of like a little bit of a blah, and then this other guy comes in and does a rap, but it's not even over the same music. Yeah, so it's effectively two completely different pieces of music put together into a single. And what they were positing about it was that it's a way, because most people hear their music via TikTok now, it's a way of, if the Drake song gets popular on TikTok, then the other rapper's going to benefit from it, and vice versa. It's doubling your chances. And it just makes you realize that the single is just a package. It's just a package format. It doesn't have, you know, we've gone along all our lives thinking it's got to be 3 to 5 minutes. It's got to, you know, verse, chorus, whatever. But in fact, it's always just been, you know, a way of packaging up and shipping out a melody, you know, and
but the song, well, I don't know, for centuries though, the song, I don't know, because if the art form fits that, you see, that's what worries me, is that the art form is actually, in its purest form, is about person to person. So if it starts adapting to the media side of it, which is what, if that's what if TikTok generates the way it's you know, that's just disgusting. It's just like, it's just.
Or is it just a distraction? You know, I mean,
a song is a song. It's like a painting or anything. It's the purest form of the art. It's telling a story. It has a narrative. It lasts a certain amount of time. You know, okay, yeah, 3.5 minutes, because that was about radio and stuff, but it was still a snapshot of an emotive emotion.
An emotion, yeah.
And it was a clear thing. It was a defined thing. It was an ill-defined mishmash of shit to fit some sort of social media platform. It's just, we are doomed if we go down that, if we move away so far away from the purest thing that it is.
We're never doomed, Philip.
We're never doomed.
But if that, what we may just be recognizing is that will wither on the vine.
Well, people, look. Know. I just think I always remember this: is that when you're involved in trying to write music, to, you know, you think, why am I doing this? Why am I writing music? Why am I singing songs? Why am I? And fundamentally, I really believe this, you do it because you love it. That's why you should do it. If you don't love it, don't do it.
So you're doing it because you enjoy the process of creating.
Because you love music, and I think that's the pure. If you start doing it because you want fans or celebrity or money, piss off. Even if you succeed, piss off.
Well,
and I think because the greats... still, you can see it in there. You can see it. Even the ones I don't really like, they absolutely love what they're doing. And that's what it's all about. You know, you love what you're doing.
Absolutely.
You do it for the love of it. And if you're not loving it, and I'll say this with everything, if you don't love what you're doing, we're on this planet for whatever it is, this tiny amount of time. If you're not enjoying what you're doing, don't do it.
I love you, Phil. You've managed to bring this round to the key lesson in life of absolutely 100% agree with you that, you know, you've got to be enjoying every single moment or you are wasting that moment.
Yeah.
And you've only got a finite amount of moments.
Yeah. So don't get swamped by what. This is the problem, I think, is that people decide to do things because they think they're going to get a reward that isn't the thing itself.
And
then you get lost in it. And I did. We've all been there. Sending stuff. You're sending your music off and actually you forget why you're doing it. So
why are you doing it?
This horrible thing. Instead of like, if you just do it to love it, and the other stuff's great, and of course you want it to be recognised, and of course you want to be on the radio, and you want to be on the telly, and you want to perform, but that's not the reason you do it, really, ultimately. When I was an eight-year-old, I picked up a guitar. I did it because I really wanted to just do it. Not because I wanted to be famous. You know, I just looked at Bob Dylan or the Beatles and thought, oh, I really want to do that. Yeah. I want to sit there and sing.
Yeah.
Play music. Not, I want to be a star.
No. No.
And it's a very fine line. Because, of course, you do want that, but it's just really being strict with yourself, thinking the moment that becomes bigger than the thing I'm doing.
Well, you've been lucky in that regard, in that fame hasn't come knocking.
No.
You know, because if it had, you know, it could well have destroyed the thing that you loved.
And I think it does to a lot of people.
It does.
The evidence is there.
Yeah. Absolutely,
and with acting, with art, with all kinds of things.
Yeah.
I mean, look at the huge names that you think have everything. Mm. They have everything, and they kill themselves, or they, you know, they self harm, or they're deeply unhappy. Loads of them.
Mm. So I would say it's one of the it's the hardest thing to do. Is to enjoy every moment. You know, it just is really difficult thing to achieve. You know, even if you know that's what you're supposed to be doing, and most people don't, because there is no profit in enjoyment. Yeah, so the whole capitalist system isn't set up to pump home that message of enjoy. It's set up to, in fact, make you a little bit needy so that you go out and consume, because that way the money keeps flowing. You know, people who enjoy themselves don't consume. And that's
exactly. If you're really happy, you consume less.
Yeah. Which is no good for the machine.
God.
No good for the machine.
Oh, God. So true.
So true. Well, and the ironic thing is that guy in the, I'm assuming it's a guy, probably got a beard, in the folk club, sitting on there playing the song over and over again. That
you're right, he's probably enjoying himself.
If he's enjoying himself and you're not.
Yeah. Who's not? And I totally agree with that. But my argument is that I don't think they are. I think they're trying to be famous.
Maybe, but then that's you putting your opinion onto them.
Yeah, I would never, you know. But the ones that really are, I've seen some wonderful songs that are dreadful, you know, but as a performance, wonderful, because the person is clearly loving every minute, and it's a joy to watch.
And isn't that so important, isn't it? Isn't that important? Whereas the other way around, you can see a technically perfect performance. Yeah. Which is totally joyless.
Yeah. And that's the trouble with the X Factor, because the ones that they're joyous and they're fun are humiliated, they're derided because they might be slightly odd, slightly whatever. And it's awful. And it's disgraceful. It's a disgrace on humanity. That disgrace. It savours the bully. It savours humiliation. It targets the vulnerable. It's awful. And it's really, you know, and I can't believe it still goes on, but there we are. Because it's about fitting a mold. So it's like you fit this mold of singing a particular way, of doing this particular thing. If you're a girl, sing like this or look like this, and
you get derided.
Or you get derided, and then if you're completely off kilter, you might squeeze through for being a little bit weird, and then it's the patronising, you know.
So those are your three options.
Let's sympathise with the, So it's either be completely, really vulnerable, and the mob might hold you up, and, you know, in a patronising, horrible way, they'll destroy you in the end. They'll make you famous, and then you'll slip up because you're vulnerable, and then they'll utterly flatten you.
Yes.
Or you'll be not very good but loving it, in which case they'll flatten you. Or you'll look like what they know, like a sort of pastiche of crack, and they'll love you. And that's it. And they just, it's just the, what was it Ricky Gervais said?
I don't know.
He called it, he said a brilliant line, I can't remember what it is. The voice of the something, I can't remember, yeah, but I'm, yeah.
I've got more time for those shows than you. I'm not, you're right, the average, you know, the average, if you want to do well in that, being average is the safe bet, but they do celebrate the, not the freaks, just the unusual. They do celebrate raw talent in those things enough for me to appreciate them. And I don't think there is a whiff of the Roman amphitheatre about them.
But then
there is also a real heart in there as well. We're a complex bunch, aren't we?
Yeah.
Especially in a crowd.
God, yeah. Mm. And the crowd's big on those things. It's millions.
Millions. Yeah. Listen, we've run out of time, Phil.
Yes.
It's
that way, that was interesting.
Yeah.
We're going to do a few, aren't we, before we release them and edit them.
Yeah, I think so. Decide whether we've got anything on these. This one was a bit dark for me.
Yeah, it was a bit dark. It was good. I like the, you know.
Redemption at the end, though.
Mm.
Which I think
it'd be good if I could get my studio working. I don't know, maybe I have to boot everything up before Zoom or something. Maybe it was that.
I think you can give that a go. What you can also do is start a Zoom session, record it, and then go back and listen to it and see whether it was all working. So, you know, to make sure to practice beforehand. Yeah. It looks more professional if you practice beforehand.
Yeah. It might be quite nice just sort of doing stuff, you know.
I think that would be really nice. Yeah, really nice if you could show us, take us through a track maybe.
Yeah.
You know, that I think that would be really interesting. I'd love to see that. I'd love to see that.
Yeah.
But and also the jingle. I'm still holding you to that jingle.
Sorry. I'm trying to I'm preparing to release, you know, the EP. We're trying to get it on radio and stuff.
The EP, the all those voices.
All those faces. Yeah. So we're putting it on, so it's good. It's doing well, but it's just, and it's just the whole, I'm now a verified Spotify artist, so I can now all the stuff, but it's all the stuff, it's the same old, it's all the biogs and, which I haven't got anything of, and I just find it very hard to write, and it's so long, the Tin Pots, it's like, how far do you go back, so we're sending it to BBC Six, and, you know, Radio Six, Radio, everything.
Yeah.
But I don't really want to go back, because I was on Radio 1 and Radio 6 and BBC 1, you know, 30 years ago. So, but I think it needs to be a new chapter. So it's like, well, what, you know.
You should have all your stuff up on the Spotify. I can't believe it's not up there.
Well, really, Dreams and Nightmare, the whole shebang.
Absolutely. It should all be up there, man. It's just a body of work that should be out there for people to enjoy.
Well, I mean, it's interesting that the country, there's a lot of countries. I've got all my stats now, you see, on the...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so 63% men and the rest women. That's the gender balance. From under 18 to over 60, and it's all quite... The only age group that isn't very low is 23 to 27, but everything else...
What's your sample size? Do you know roughly how many people you're...
It's from probably, I don't know.
100?
Oh, no, it's thousands.
Thousands, yeah. Is it really?
Yeah, thousands. Well done. Yeah.
That's yeah. great.
What else is there? Yeah, so the country's all over the bloody place.
Yeah.
Australia, you know, all of, mostly UK.
Yeah.
Norway, Portland, a lot of places I've been to teach, so I don't know who they are.
No.
But yeah, it's all right. It's quite interesting.
Yeah.
The thing, but...
Yeah, it's fascinating.
Yeah.
Good stuff, Phil. Yeah. Well, I'm going to play the jingle, play us out.
Excellent.
It's been a pleasure, as ever.
Yeah.
Until next time.
Yeah, until next time. You're going to play the jingle, are you?
It's Phil and Danny Show. Thanks for joining us. Let's go.
Bye-bye, Phil.
See you later. Bye.
See you later.
Bye.